We're here on our the New Hampshire Confession of Faith, adopted by our church at her beginning. And last Wednesday, I thought we'd wrapped it up, and I pulled an extra verse in there, a couple extra verses in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. I needed to look at my paper better, didn't I? So we're going to go ahead and finish this article up, Article 9 of God's Purpose of Grace. We believe that election is the eternal purpose of God, according to which he graciously regenerates, sanctifies, and saves sinners, that being perfectly consistent with the free agency of man, it comprehends all the means in connection with the end, that it is a most glorious display of God's sovereign goodness, being infinitely free, wise, holy, and unchangeable, that it utterly excludes boasting and promotes humility, love, prayer, praise, trust in God, an active imitation of his free mercy, that it encourages the use of means in the highest degree, that it may be ascertained by its effects in all who truly believe the gospel, that it is the foundation of Christian assurance, and that to ascertain it with regard to ourselves demands and deserves the utmost diligence. That last part, that to ascertain it, or to assay, to know it and know that it's so, know that it's true in regard to ourselves, demands and deserves the utmost diligence. We come here to Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 11, apostle writing. He says here, "And we desire that every one of you," speaking to the saints, "do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." A perseverance of the saints. Verse 12, let's go ahead and read that. "That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." And he's kind of giving, alluding to what he will expound upon in Hebrews chapter 11. Same diligence. That there be a diligence about knowing that we are saved, and the same as Peter says, make our calling and election sure, that we are saved by the Lord. We do have faith in him. We do have the Spirit of God living within, full assurance of hope unto the end, not a claim to hope, not a claim of a thing that in decades to come will just kind of fade away, kind of go away. But that we have been touched, we have been saved, we have been changed. We need to be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith, we have great examples, right? A cloud of witnesses at hand. Not that we look to mimic our brothers and sisters in Christ that have gone before us for the sake of mimicking them. But we have a good witness from them, don't we? We have a good witness from the brethren in the Scripture. They believe what? They believe the promises and patience. Faith and patience inherit the promises. We come to the end of the promises. We have a great hope that our Lord Jesus is coming. We have a desire, don't we? We have a desire to not be ashamed when he comes, but be happy to see him and ready to go with him and go on in to eternity with our Lord. Those who are the Lord's and those who are elect of him will hear, will believe, and will persevere till to the end. We don't know who they are, and we who are saved and claim the Lord Jesus, we need to know of a surety that the Spirit of God lives within. Not just religion. Religion will send you to hell. But the true religion, the faith in Christ, the election of God is manifested in those that believe and continue on. Then we come to this Article 10 of sanctification. And let's go ahead and take a look at this one. If you have a sheet here, you should have a date, May 13th, by that. And you've got the up-to-date sheet for this. All right, of sanctification. Let's take a look at this. There's a misunderstanding with some about what sanctification is. I like the definition of sanctification is that we're set apart for the Lord. He has sanctified us in eternity past. He sanctifies us in time. We are to sanctify ourselves as we walk and live after being saved. And then when our Lord calls us home, indeed, he sets us apart to himself, doesn't he? Because he'll take us on. We are saved. If we go by death, He takes us on to be with Him. If we live when our Lord Jesus comes, He takes us on to be with Him. We're special. We're set apart for Him. Sanctification in the life is namely what this is talking about, a progressive sanctification, and we are to pursue it, and we have been called unto it. Okay, we believe that sanctification is the process. That's good. That's a good thing, a good way to understand it, that it's a process by which, according to the will of God, we are made partakers of His holiness, that it is a progressive work, that it is begun in regeneration. Okay, that's in time. That's how sanctification is known, is by salvation by our Lord. And that it is carried on in the hearts of believers by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, the sealer and comforter, especially we who are in the church, and the continual use of the appointed means, especially the Word of God, self-examination, self-denial, that's dealing with that old man, watchfulness, we're looking for our Lord, we have a sober understanding of things in the world we're supposed to, and prayer. And so we take a look, understand sanctification is working towards perfection, okay? And using that word perfection as the Bible uses it, perfection doesn't mean to be sinless. Perfection means to be mature, to grow up in the Lord. And even as we read in Hebrews 6, verses 1 and 2, we need to grow up in the Lord. It doesn't mean that we forget about things. We don't forget about the foundation, but we establish the foundation as far as doctrine and following and learning about our Lord and learning what He's done for us. And then we go on to maturity in our Lord. And we'll see about that here in these verses. We believe that sanctification is a process by which, according to the will of God, we are made partakers of His holiness. I mean, think about it. Dead in trespasses and sins, alive to new life in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God living within. We've had a big, the great dose of holiness touch us, haven't we? By the Lord living within us. And we don't need to take this word holiness and be afraid of it. It's been, in the minds of some, it's been spoiled and it's been misused. It has been misused. And we don't need to be afraid of it. We're called to be a peculiar people. We're called to be a holy people like our Lord. We can only be salty if the world sees a difference in us. We can only be salty, and the difference they need to see in that, in us, is the difference that our Lord has made in us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's take a look over here. Sanctification is a process according to the will of God, and we are made partakers of His holiness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 3, the Scripture says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." It goes on to say, let's read the next verse to complete, well, more of the sentence, "that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor of our Lord." We are to honor what our Lord has done. We're not to misuse this life. We take this flesh, we take this life, we take this body, we misuse it. We're not good stewards of it before our Lord. We should take it and use it to His honor and His glory and His praise. We may use up this life for the sake of our Lord, like the apostles, like the apostle Paul. They used up their lives for the Lord, for the sake of the Lord's people, for the sake of the ministry to which they were called to. We need to abstain from things that from which we are saved. Sunday afternoon, we took a look in Galatians 5 about the works of the flesh. We're to abstain from that stuff. We're to abstain from it. That's the command of our Lord. Fornication is listed here, and that's illicitness. That's intimacy between a man and a woman, and even this wickedness of sodomy and lesbianism and such as that. That's all wickedness. It falls under that heading. We're to abstain from those things. We've been saved from those things. And we need to stay away from it, not go back in it. Everyone should know how to possess his vessel. We got this earthen vessel and a great, wonderful blessing within. Our Lord Jesus goes with us everywhere we go. And we need to watch where we go, watch what we do, watch what we think, watch what we say. Our conversation needs to be honoring to our Lord. We jump over here to the next chapter in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23. Sanctification. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, right? It's our Lord's will for us is that we be sanctified. And we have this great, wonderful thing of prayer. We can petition our Lord that He would help us to do so. His power would live within us. We can't do it ourselves. But with His power, we can. Verse 23 of chapter 5, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Yes, it is the Lord that works within. But yes, it is us, we who avail ourselves to it. Do you want to be sanctified? Do I want to be set apart for the Lord? Or do I just want to go the old way? Go the natural way. Go the way of the world. I mean, what we fill ourselves with is what we'll have a tendency to lean to, isn't it? It's just the way it is. We need to fill ourselves with the good Word of God and lovely and wonderful things about His truth and His way. We need to manifest a change, touch, save people. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly," as He closes out this book. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our goal is perfection, to be like our Lord. We will not attain it, working toward perfection, but in this body we never will attain it, but at death we will be like Christ. But in the meantime, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what would you have me to do? Amen? That's what in everything we're faced with. Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you do? I want to be like you. I want to do like you. I want to think like you. We need our Lord's help in it, and He does work in us. And we need His touch upon us and help in it. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We can't do it in the flesh. We live in the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit. And we need our Lord's help in it. And He will help us. Well, when a child of God petitions the Lord, "Lord, help me that I might put this thing out of my life that I'm plagued with, that it might be displaced out of my life, that I have a bad time dealing with this kind of thing when it comes on." Is the Lord pleased when the child of God comes to Him asking for that kind of help? Does the Lord chide us and run us off when we petition Him for any? Isn't He honored? Isn't that that's an exhibition of humility in it, isn't it? To walk humbly with our God. We walk humbly with our Lord as we admit and acknowledge and implore Him. We need Him. We need Him. We need His help to do this thing that we're called unto. It's the Lord's will that we be sanctified, and He will help us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1, "Having therefore these promises," and they help us, the promises of our Lord help us be partakers of the divine nature of the Lord. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh," all filthiness of the spirit, right? Isn't that what it's saying? "Perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Is what I want in the way of the world, is that what's primary? Is that what's shining brightest in my heart and mind? Or is it what's shining brightest is what my Lord wants? What our God wants? We have fear of Him. I don't need to do that. I don't need to displease my Lord. I don't need to bring His chastening hand upon me. That our thinking needs to be like that rather than just fly off. It's easy. It's carnal to fly off. But to be have meekness and to be under control and desiring and having fear of our Lord, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, the old man, the thinking and the way of the old man. Remember our consideration on Sunday afternoons. Sin equals death, period. It's just that way. Sin equals death. Sin equals defilement. Sin goes out from us. It's never just isolated to us. Sin goes out and has effect, not only in our lives, not only in our hearts, but also in those round about us. Having therefore these promises, know the promise of the Lord. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Do some introspection. Do some washing. Do some soul searching. David said, purge me with hyssop. Didn't he? David, a man after God's own heart. Maybe that's an indication of why he's a man after God's own heart. He said, Lord, wash me up. Wash me up the way you can wash me up. And I tell you what, we need to be ready when we do that, but we need to do that. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness, maturing in holiness. Oh, I got to give up this now. See, that doesn't need to be the words of our heart and mind. I got to give up this. I got to give up this. I got to give up this. Well, what we need to do is we just need to weigh it. Is this pleasing to our Lord? Is this iffy before our Lord? Or is this disobedient to our Lord? We need to give it up. Let it pass. If it's not pleasing to our Lord, we need to have that fear of our God before our hearts and minds. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I've indicated verse 10 in the bold. I think it's well to add this verse. Okay, and so 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 9, and so I've taken the liberty of doing that, but it's the reason I've indicated it that way. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 9, for we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. This also we wish, even your perfection. That's what the apostle desired for those that he ministered to, is that they be perfect. That they hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I believe a pastor whose heart is right, that's what he desires for those that he pastors. To hear from our Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want for you. I want you to hear that from the Lord. I tell you what, nothing will make me rejoice more than that. The apostle Paul said that I think it's this church at Corinth or the church at Thessalonica about those members. He said, you are my crown of rejoicing before the Lord. Now, nothing better than our Lord to be pleased with your service and walk before him. For we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong, growing. Tell you what, one that ministers and teaches in the good word of God, there's nothing better, or I say nothing better, I'm stacking up a lot of things that are nothing better, aren't I? But it's a wonderful thing to hear when the saints of the Lord have taken a thing, not because the minister or the preacher or the teacher has said it, but because the Lord has given it to us in his word, and they grab a hold of it for themselves. They own it. They have it. They believe it. It's a blessing. It's a blessing indeed. I think Galatians speaks about communicating with those that teach, and I think that's what that's talking about, is that you grab it up, you soak it up, you make it your own, and you do so because you're convicted from it by the Lord. Yeah, maybe the minister, maybe a teacher, maybe a brother and sister in Christ, maybe they brought it and taught it to you, and they presented it before you in some fashion, but you took a hold of it. We take a hold of it and grab it, and we've got it ourselves. Not because of them. It's kind of like the woman at the well. We believe that those men said, well, they believed at her word. And then when they went down there and saw the Lord themselves, they said, we don't believe because of your word, but we believe because of his word. See that? That's very much apropos for that. For we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord had given me to edification, and not to destruction. He said, I could, as an apostle, I could be harder on you and sharper on you about this, but I'm frightened that you pursue this and that you be strong in the Lord, that you become mature, you become perfect in the Lord, that you be more set apart for Him and less set apart for the world. In Ephesians chapter 1, and this chapter we've been in several times with other doctrines. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 4, according as He hath chosen us, the Lord, in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. The calling of our Lord is indeed there. The walk of before our Lord as the children of God is yet to be found out. It's yet to be known. We can never lay our failing at the feet of our Lord because He didn't touch us and He didn't help us and He didn't bless us. We can't do that. It's like the man that had been given the talent and he buried it in the earth to accuse our Lord. No, to seek our Lord's help, to be desirous of what He has for us. There is a design at hand. Will you and I follow it? Will you and I pursue it? Will you and I gauge it? Will we become engage it? Will we become a more partaker of our Lord's holiness, and again, that we might be salty in this world. It says here in our article, we believe that sanctification is the process by which, according to the will of God, we are made partakers of His holiness. Point two, that it is a progressive work, that it is progressive. And again, my side note here, that we work toward perfection, using that Bible word. But in this body, we need to understand, we don't need to despair, but we do need to understand that we will not attain it. But we should try. We should pursue. But at death, we will be like Christ. And that's one of those promises and one of that hope that we have from our Lord. A progressive work, this of sanctification. In Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 18. Solomon writes, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. What road are we on? What way are we on? Are we on the broad way? No, we're on the narrow way. We're on that narrow way, and we grab a hold of it. And Lord, help us not to forget it. We're on that narrow way that is Christ. We're not going to Christ. We're in the narrow way that is Christ. What's the Lord say in John 14:6? I am the way. I am the way. And we're on that narrow way. The path of the just is as the shining light. Our Lord is shining. We are to shine in Him that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. We will be perfect when we see our Lord. And until then, may we mortify this old man and be set aside more and more for our Lord. Day by day. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Because you know what? On the broad way, anything's accepted. Anything's received. It's universal on the broad way, isn't it? It's wide. You can do anything you want. We're on the narrow way that is Christ. And that way is going towards our Lord. And it is progressive indeed. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The scripture says here in verse 18, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and a glass, a like unto a mirror. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Tell you what, when we get down to the end of this, it's going to be great. It's going to be more wonderful than you and I can even comprehend. And thing as we behold as it is, as we look to our Lord, the glory of our Lord. See, our brethren in the Scriptures, they saw the glory of the Lord. And you know what? When they saw the glory of the Lord, any account of our brethren, when they saw the glory of the Lord, they were touched. They were affected. They were yielded unto the will and the way of the Lord. They desired the Lord more than anything in every aspect of life. You mark it down. You look at it. Peter, James, and John, they were changed and touched indeed by the Mount of Transfiguration. They were saved. Peter, when he was converted, the Lord told him that. He said, when you're converted, you know, when you've got, he wasn't saying that Peter wasn't saved, but when you're sold out, all for me, strengthen your brethren. When nothing else matters but what I want you to do. And then the Lord had to deal with him again. We read this past Sunday in John 21, didn't he? And he dealt with him that way. He said, feed my sheep, Peter. Feed my lambs, Peter. Feed my sheep, Peter. He said, you love me? You love me more than these? Do you love me more than your brethren? Do you love me more than this fishing that you're comfortable with? He said, I'm your friend. Peter, do you love me more than these? I'm your close friend. Peter, are you my friend? No, Lord, I want you to be closer to me than that. And it grieved him. It grieved him. We need to walk with our Lord. And we need to behold His glory. And as we do, are changed into the same. We're made like Christ. We desire Christ from glory to glory. The Lord shows us things. We yield to our Lord, and He shows us another thing. And we yield to our Lord in His way, and we know we find that it's true. Romans speaks about that experience and patience and hope and how that works in us. We have faith in our Lord. We have faith in Him, and we're blessed by it. His way to the flesh and to the world doesn't seem like it'll work. But when we take the Lord up on His promises and on His Word, we see that it's true. And we're helped by it. We're changed by it. The world, our family, our friends, our neighbors say, you're crazy. You're naive thinking that that way will work. But we know and believe and find out that it does. That it does, that our Lord's Word is true, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord living within, working within, availing ourselves to the Spirit of the Lord within. We need His help, don't we? And then in Hebrews chapter 6, which we just read in that previous article, let's go ahead and turn over here again. It's progressive. And what's it say? Know these things, set the foundation, move on. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, sanctification, maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Let's go on and read of the doctrine of baptisms, laying on the hands of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Those are foundational things. Set them. Now move on. Move on. And indeed, as we minister and work in the church and we have services, there should be the pastor has a challenge before him to feed all the sheep, to feed all those that he's given to be an under-shepherd by, to preach those foundational things and to preach deeper things and heavier things under the leadership of the Lord. If just one thing is fed, then there'll be a foundering, won't there? It can be. And so you pray for me. I need that from the Lord to know what to bring. We need to grow up in our Lord. We need to know it for ourselves. My pastor says this. Well, for a time, that's okay. But in time, it needs to be, I believe this from the Word of God. I believe what God says about this. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. That it is, the sanctification is a progressive work. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And beside this, knowing the promises, precious promises, that we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through desire of this old man. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. You've been given faith, add something to it. And to virtue, knowledge. And the word virtue is speaking about goodness. Goodness, holiness. Like our Lord. What would the Lord Jesus do? What would the Lord Jesus do if he was cheated? What would the Lord Jesus do if he's reviled? What is our call to be like the children of the Most High? Right? Knowledge. Know what the Word of God says. Know what He says. And know about Him. And to knowledge, temperance, self-control. And to temperance, patience. Speaking about waiting. We spend our child of God life waiting more than anything else that we do. The events, the decisions, the challenges, the temptations, the trials. They happen and they come in a moment, and then we have the reaction, and then we have the fallout, and we have the seeking for a solution, and we have our response. All those things, they come in a moment, and then there's those things that we have to wait. We have to wait in between. We have to wait for the answer. We have to wait for the one to be healed and helped. We have to wait for a test. We have to wait. We wait and wait. We pray the Lord will save, and we wait for the Lord to save. Have patience, and add to patience godliness. Being like our Lord. Doing what He would do. Not the way that the world would do. Not after the works of the flesh. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. We need to love our brethren. We need to love our neighbor as ourselves. We certainly need to love our brethren. We need to greet one another. Do you come to services? Do you and I come to services and not seek out our brethren to greet them? We need to greet our brethren. We haven't seen one another for that part of the week. Well, I know what they look like, and I said hi the other day. Go shake their hand. Well, you can. Shake their hand. Let them know that you're glad that they're there. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going on to glory together. Amen? We are. Sometimes we might greet a stranger better than we'd greet our brother and sister in Christ. Lord, help us. Brotherly kindness. Bearing one another's burdens. And brotherly kindness, charity. Love with legs on it. Love with legs on it. For if these things be in you and abound, then make you that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful. Add these things to faith. Be conscious and aware. Lord, in this past month, in this past year, have I been adding these things to my faith? To be conscious about that. Lord, the other day, did I add brotherly kindness, sisterly kindness to my faith the other day when I was faced with such a thing? Did I add temperance? Am I adding virtue? Lord, I want to add virtue. I want to add brotherly kindness. Lord, give me the strength to wait on you in this thing. I'm just tore up and upset about it. Help me. Help me, Lord. If these things be in you and abound, and they make you, that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing about our Lord Jesus. Learn of me, the Lord says in Matthew 11. Learn about our Lord and what He thinks. How He walks. how he does what he did in coming and living here for us. In Philippians chapter 3, this is sanctification is indeed a progressive work. It is a progressive work. Yeah, I say it often, and it's so. A life that starts out in the Lord by repentance and faith is a life that will continue on in repentance and faith. And you know what? You got to be near your Lord to repent. And we have to be near our Lord to believe Him. Faith in Him. Continued faith in Him for the rest of the time that He gives us here until faith gives way to sight. In Philippians chapter 3, verse number 12, I love this passage too. Don't you? Not as though I already attained. I want to, but I haven't got there. I want to. Either we're already perfect. Well, I'm not there. I want to be. Don't you want to be? Either we're already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Christ Jesus. He's apprehended me. I wish to apprehend Him. He caught up with me. He tracked me down and found me. He left the 99 in the fold, and He came and He found me. Now I want to be near Him. I want to be like my Savior. I want to live like my Savior. Brethren, verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I tell you what, you could camp out right there and preach a whole message on forgetting what's behind. You know, there's a lot of things we just need to forget. You know, bitterness can be fed by things that we remember. By things that we remember. With bitterness, sorrow. Thus, there are good memories, but there are some things that we just need to forget. The apostle says, I'm forgetting those things that are behind. I'm reaching forth to those things which are before. Solomon says and writes that it's unwise for us to say that the good old days are better than these. This is the day our Lord has given us. Today, may we take it, but with the help and petition and prayer and trust and obedience and hearing our Lord's word, may we take it and make the best of it for His honor and glory's sake. I'm not saying I've got it down. I'm saying what the apostle says, I want to. I may need you to remind me. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is that mark? What is that prize? Is it not to see our Savior face to face? Is it not to be in His presence? Is it not to be taken out of this world one way or another, being obedient to our Lord? And hearing from Him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Is that not what we look for? I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. You know, we've got some things we need revealed unto us. We've got some introspection. We need some things that we don't see. There's things in my life I don't see. I need my Lord to show me those things. We need the help of our Lord. Let us therefore, this high calling, this pressing for this mark, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Want to be mature? Be pressing towards the mark. Be looking to the Lord. Those that haven't quite seen it yet, may the Lord help that we would, that we might be a good witness to our brothers and sisters in Christ, that the Lord would help them and help us together. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, pressing towards the mark. Not one to lord things down over our brothers and sisters in Christ, not one to brag about self, but be pressing towards our Lord, pressing towards Him. Hear the calling and follow it. Nevertheless, verse 16, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. We're all growing at different rates. May the Lord help us that we might change the rate. Amen? And that we might learn what our Lord has given us and move on to the next thing. And in many times we have to go back and we find ourselves that we forget some things, don't we? And we've got to go back and renew those things. And let us know and let us pursue in this progressive work. Yes, it takes the Lord working in us, but it does take us petitioning and seeking our Lord's face in it. Brothers and sisters, we have a responsibility. As you and I would sit on the seat of do-nothing relative to our walk and our service of our Lord, this isn't going to drop down out of heaven and plop down in front of us. But we've got the calling of our Lord. We've got what He's told us in His Word. We've got the avenue of prayer and the call of our Lord in it. And you know what? He will help. He will help us. And He will bless us. That is His design and His desire. Next time, Lord willing, we'll pick it up here, this point number 3, where the article says that it is begun in regeneration. That's when it started. Sanctification was started when our Lord regenerated us, when He made us alive. We were dead, and He visited us. He made us alive. He used His Word in that. He moved with His Spirit in that. It's a miraculous thing. It's a marvelous thing that our Lord has done. He calls us to where we didn't hear to where we heard. He calls us to where we didn't see that we could see. He calls us where we didn't understand to understand. He calls us to where we didn't believe to believe. He made a difference in us, didn't He? He made a difference in us by His Son and by the gospel of His Son and the truth of His Word. May we continue on. There's a whole world of people that are just living a life saying, well, I've been saved. That's good enough. No, it's not good enough. That's not the calling of the Lord. But the calling of the Lord is to grow up in the Lord and be a witness for Him, a good witness for Him unto others. Like the Lord sent a good witness to you and used in your life.